Good evening and welcome to our evening service. This is the last service of 2023. And I don't know what 2023 was like for you, but we trust the Lord for 2024 that He'll really bless us. Now, we're delighted to have Darren Dewey back again as our speaker. And we're always very thankful that, that when he's over, he will help us out. And we appreciate that. Now, a number of people are taking part, some of them very nervous, so pray for them, pray that the nerves will not get the better of them there. They're going to praise God, and that's the main thing. And then afterwards, we are having a supper over in the hall, straight out through the door and across to the hall. And as my grandson Ezra called it, it's the big church supper. So everyone is welcome to go across to the hall immediately after this and have a time of fellowship. Now, there's no Bible study or prayer meeting this week on Tuesday. That's off. But what we are doing is on Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, we're having an hour of prayer each night. It'll run from 7:30 until 8 o'clock. And we'd like, or 8:30. Just checking you there. From 7:30 to 8:30. And we'd like as many people to come along as possible. You know, it'd be great if you come along even just one evening. Now, someone said to me after the service this morning, don't ask him to come one evening. Ask him to come every evening and pray for the work of the church. So there's the challenge to you. Start off with a New Year's resolution. I'm going to pray for the church and I'm going to be out Wednesday, Thursday and Friday this week. Then next Sunday, we have our normal services at 11 in the morning and 6 in the evening. And we have another visit from Pastor Dennis Lyle. And there will be communion after the morning service. So these are all the announcements, and I'm just going to ask Brian to lead us in prayer.
Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege once again of gathering together as we come to the close of this day. We thank you, Lord, for this privilege because we can remember there are many, many people in many parts of the world tonight, Christian believers, who would not be able to enjoy this great privilege of gathering in fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of your promise that when we gather together in your name, that you are in the midst. And we want to thank you, Lord, tonight once again that we're able to lift our hearts and our voices in worship and praise to you. And our main objective tonight, Lord, in all that is done, will not be to the glory of men, and not be to the glory of anyone who takes part, but will be to point everything to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. As Billy has said, there's some folks taking part tonight, some feeling more nervous than others. We understand that. We thank them all for their contribution, which they will make. And to start us off this evening, we're going to have a scripture reading. It's going to be read for us by Alfie Wilson, who's the oldest son of Smitha and Alec, who have been meeting with us for quite some time now. So you come up, Alfie, and take the scripture reading.
Today I'm going to read the portion 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. I repeat, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Firstly, I'm going to read in my native language, that is Malayalam, say South Indian language. Varithan Kristoilayal, avan pudhiya srishtiyagunu, palayathu kazhinju poyi, idha athu pudhuthayi theerthirikkunu. Now I'm going to translate this in English. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. The new beginning. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Amen.
Thank you, Alfie. Great job. Is everybody warm enough? Because up here it is sweltering. So if you want to open the windows, feel free. I think we're trying to bake some buns in here or something. The first song we're going to do in this our praise service is Hosanna. So if we just all stand to sing. Tell us why she's chosen this song.
Thank you. Good evening. I've chosen this song, Shackled by a Heavy Burden, because it was a new beginning in my life. It changed my life forever. In 1976, I was in a backslidden state. A few years before, after a trauma in my life, I turned my back on God. But God didn't turn his back on me. And over those years, he spoke again and again to me. But I didn't come back. But God moved. And 1976, I found myself in a crematorium in Glasgow at the funeral of my gran. My gran was the only godly person I knew as a child in my life, and I'd only stayed with her a short time, but she taught me the choruses and the hymns, like Blessed Assurance, I Come to the Garden Alone, When He Cometh to Make Up His Jewels, and that stayed with me through my life. But we moved then to Northern Ireland. I started going to the mission halls, and it was there I got saved. And I went on with the Lord for a time, but then a trauma came into my life, and instead of running to God, I ran from Him. And I was that way for quite a number of years. But in 1976, in that crematorium, God spoke to me in a real way. I'd gone back to church. I was under conviction. And I just wasn't ready to come back because there were things in my life I knew that I would have to change. But God knew better and knew different. And at that funeral, a Salvation Army major read Revelations 21, verse 3 to 4. But the words that stuck in my mind was, Behold, I make all things new. And in that meeting, the words of this hymn, which I'd only heard once before, sung by the Matches in a church a few weeks previously, the Spirit of God brought them back to my mind, shackled by a heavy burden. Neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. And every time I hear that hymn, it thrills my soul. That was 47 years ago, and it reminds me of where I was and where God has brought me to. And my prayer tonight would be that if you have a burden in your life, if you're not saved, why not trust the Saviour? It's a step you'll never regret. But if you are saved and life's weighing heavy on you, why not just come? Let the Lord touch you. He touches my life every day through people, through His Word, through His presence, and all the ups and downs of life. God has never failed me. And despite my failings and shortcomings, He has kept me to this point in time. We're at the beginning of a new year. That was a new beginning in my life 47 years ago that changed it forever. Why not, at the beginning of this year, hand over your burden to the Lord and trust Him and start a new life with Him? We can't change the past, but we can look forward with God's help to the future. Amen.
Congregational hymn, Blessed Be Your Name, or Blessed Be the Name.
Blessed be your name.
Sit down. I'm sure you'll be glad to hear. Next we have our brother Tim, who's coming up to sing a solo off the song that he likes most. He'll give me a clout in the ear if he gets too close to me.
I think I found a pulpit anyway. I'm standing here and I have a hymn which is in the Songs of Victory hymn book. I found it, what, about 57 years ago, and it's still very fresh in my memory, but as you go through it, it's very, very theological forby, because it gives a lot of information and it strengthens one. But I'm here tonight to give thanks to the Lord, because before I was saved on the 9th of May 1965, I wouldn't have stood in front of you. I had an impediment in my speech, and going down to the Worldwide Missionary Convention meeting in August in 1965, I opened the Bible, and it opened at Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 4. It just said this: "The heart of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerer shall be ready to speak plainly." I'm still standing on the promises of God. It's good to know that we can have hymns, and this hymn here with the 110 in the old hymn book, here at the start in the church it was the congregational hymnal, and then we went on to redemption hymnal, and then we, in 1999 I think it was, we changed to the Songs of Victory, which is the new one. And so this hymn is not only this 310 the old one, but it's actually 486 in the new one. But you know, as we go through it, it says this: "I have found a friend in Jesus." And you know, I did find a friend. The word in the Proverbs and 28 actually tells us that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And so as we go through this here, we find there's actually a lot of things. It says here, "In sorrow, he is my comfort." Sorrow has been in the heart too, but found comfort in Christ. And we go on through the hymn. It does actually state concerning that he all my grief has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. For him all I've forsaken from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. And you know what, isn't it true? The scriptures tell us that we have an inheritance that fadeth not away, preserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. And this is why we're able to sing this hymn so well. And then, of course, it says here concerning that through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. Apostle Paul actually puts it very, very well. For he's actually talking about going to heaven, and he actually says that he was able to sing that because God was still going to take him. He's able to do that which he has promised. And this is true. So we'll take time now to sing, and I'll leave it up to James for the sing. I won't be singing it. I'm sure, old lad, there's no locks in the door that would hold you in. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
very much, Jim. Jim, is that the hymn book you have there got a blue cover on it? Jim, is that a blue cover on that hymn book? The hymn book you had there, is it a blue cover? Do you know what, Jim? I'm ashamed to say I remember those. Well, I don't remember the first edition. Well, we're going to have a wee break from singing now, but Serenay's going to sing for us.
Praise our wonderful God for what He has done, what He is doing, and what He will do in our lives. This song is called I Follow Jesus. It's my favorite Turkish hymn. I will be singing it in Turkish, but English translation will be on the screen for you to follow. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Matthew 16 and 24. Amen.
Güneşi taç yapıp başıma koysalar, altın olsa yıldızlar, ellerime verseler, dünyayı halı diye ayağıma serseler, çarmıhım yeter değil İzlerim. Bütün dünyanın bilgisini verseler, kralıklar vaat etseler, çarmıhım yeter değil İsa'yı izlerim. Ben zenginlik, yücelik ve kudret, bunların hepsi Rabbime aittir ve ben de anladım sonsuz gerçeği. Çarmıhım yeter değil İsa'yı izlerim. Çarmıhım yeter değil İsa'yı izlerim. Çarmıhım yeter değil İsa'yı.
Praise the Lord. This one is called He Didn't Come Down. If there is anyone who knew rejection best, he is no other than Jesus. He was rejected and crucified to accomplish his Father's plan. When you feel rejected, remember Jesus. He understands your feelings. He knows your pain. Let's give praises to our precious Savior Jesus tonight as he stayed on the cross for you and me. Often I stop to think just where I will be. Had Jesus come down that from that cruel tree, there'll be no hope for man, no peace could be. Praise God, I am blessed. He didn't come down. He didn't come down. Oh no, he didn't come down. 10,000 angels were camped all around. He could have called them to set him free, but he stayed on the cross for you and for me, for you and for me. Picture his mother there with tears in her eyes, as they mocked and scorned him and pierced his side. They said, if thou be king, then come to the ground. But he prayed, forgive them. He didn't come down. He didn't come down. Oh no, he didn't come down. 10,000 angels were camped all around. He could have called them to set him free, but he stayed on the cross for you and for me, for you and for me. But he stayed on the cross for you and for me, for you and for me. Praise the Lord.
Thank you very much, Sir Annie. That was lovely. And at this stage, let me see what's happening next. Evelyn obviously knows better than I do because she's making her way up here. Come on ahead, Evelyn. Where's the song first? The song first. I lift my hands and we'll stand to sing this. And the men better be in good voice because they're singing the first verse. Thank you. sit down now, and we're going to have Evelyn, who's going to tell us about her favourite song.
Hi, everybody. King of Kings, Majesty is one of my favourite songs. Firstly, I chose it because it was one of my it was my baptismal hymn, and that was a very special occasion, and the song has been very special ever since. Verse 1 says, God of heaven, living in me. To think that the eternal Creator God chose to live in me by his Holy Spirit is beyond amazing. Now to rewind. Verse 2 says, brought this sinner near to his throne. No merits I claim. I stand before God, complete in Jesus because of Calvary. And the chorus says, in royal robes I don't deserve. I live to serve your majesty. I'd like to tie it all together with a verse of scripture from the book of Jude and verse 24. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. My human mind can't comprehend that right now. But one day, for all who love him as their saviour, it will be a reality.
And we'll all stand to sing this song.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, it's my turn now. This song, the first time I heard it, brought me to tears. And I just had to listen to it again and again. It tells about God and just how majestic He is. And we use the word awesome today totally in the wrong context. Because our Lord is awesome, and when we look upon His face, we will see that.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song. Mercy seat.
praise the Lord for his goodness to us and for all he's done for us. Okay, now we have our sister Ruth coming. Here she comes to tell us about her favourite song. I don't think she's going to sing, are you, Ruth? Oh, pity. I was looking for a break.
First of all, I would like to thank Brian Bell for giving me the opportunity to come up to the front. But I will be juking you in future, Brian, going forward. The song I have chosen tonight is "What a Faithful God Have I." It reassures us that we have peace in knowing that God remains constant and faithful to his promises. The song encourages us to trust in his faithfulness and rely on his strength rather than our own. It reminds us that God's plans are greater than our own and that he is always working for our good, even in the most challenging of circumstances. What a faithful God instills hope and reminds us that we are never alone, for God is always by our side, and this is particularly relevant in the birth of wee Nathaniel. And I remember as I was going through the theatre doors of uncertainty, the Lord was there. What a faithful God have I. I sung it and the Lord answered prayer. May I take this opportunity to thank the church family for the much prayers leading up to Nathaniel's birth and following his birth. I would like just to leave this wee verse with you tonight, and it's simply found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks unto the Lord. Thank you.
So we're going to stand to sing that hymn.
Thank you.
this point, we'll hand over to our brother Darren.
Well, thank you for all of those who did come up and share their hymns. It was nice to hear. And don't worry, Jim. I too remember the blue songs of victory books. But that was from my Sunday school days. Because we used to sing, Mr. McKinnon it was, wasn't it? And at the back of the book there's little choruses. He used to sing the little choruses in the back. But I remember also hearing, Jim brought his accordion, didn't you, and sang with a boys' Bible class as well. And didn't bring it tonight. Didn't bring it. See, you missed a treat. You know, missed a treat. Well, I'm here because the Lord has saved me, and because the greatest thing has happened. When I became a Christian, I grew up in this church, and you, dear folk, not only prayed for me, but some of you, without knowing it or with knowing it, and were very influential, teaching me the ways of Christ. And then the Lord takes you on, and someone else teaches you more stuff. But really, it is all about growing in grace, and that's what we're going to finish off with this evening, about growing in grace. We heard some of it this evening about how it's God's unmerited, undeserved, unearned favour of God. It's been granted to us out of God's favour. We're going to read first of all from 2 Peter chapter 3 from verse 10, and you'll get a hint of, if you were here this morning, you'll get a hint of, it's talking about some similar themes, but the verse is going to be in that verse 18 that we will look at together this evening. Let's hear 2 Peter chapter 3. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be thus dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, in light of all that we've heard, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away by the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we take that verse this evening, especially, Lord, at the end of this year. Lord, we want to grow in grace. We want to also grow in knowing you and your presence in our lives. You as our Lord, you as our Savior. And Lord, we pray, Lord, as we would sing, the dearest idol I would know, help me to tear it from the throne of my heart and to worship you alone. Have us, Lord, to truly worship you in spirit and in truth as we grow in your grace that's been given to us and knowing more about you, but not just knowing more about you, but being in a closer relationship with you. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this evening, I don't know many of you how your 2023 has gone. I don't know whether there was good times or bad times or mundane days that every day just kept on going one after the other. But sometimes we can look back with a whole gamut or a whole variety of emotions or regrets or guilts. And as Christians, we must know what has already happened. That actually all of my sin has been borne away by the Lord Jesus Christ and I bear it no more. But actually we can think about this evening that everything that happened in 2023 didn't come as a surprise to God. Even if it was painful, even if it was difficult, or even if it was wonderful, it all has happened and we've come to this point. And God plans all of our days, and He numbers all of our days that we may have a heart of wisdom. And this evening as we come, I want to think about what's going to happen in the future. No, I'm no Mystic Meg, if you remember Mystic Meg. But actually, you need to know that from what we have heard this evening, from what we have sung, the truth that we sing, we can live. What a faithful God is. What a wonderful Savior we have. One who has changed my whole heart and life because He's come into my life. I've been shackled by a heavy burden. I was weighed down by sin. And burdens are lifted at Calvary. And that the believer needs to know that that is what's happened. We're on a journey of faith, the journey of faith with Jesus. I don't know whether many of you have read the Pilgrim's Progress. Put up your hand if you've read Pilgrim's Progress. There's a youth version now. Would you believe that? There's a youth version that speaks in, I was going to say modern English, but some part of English that we can actually read. And I have the old version. But I have it on CD and I can listen and read at the same time. Multitasking. Isn't that brilliant? But actually here we find is this, that in Pilgrim's Progress there's a man called Christian who is coming from the city of destruction, the city where there's sin and depravity and darkness, and he's making his journey the whole way to the celestial city, to heaven. And on his way he comes to different places like the Slough of Despond, where he is in the mud and he's stuck and he's trying to get out, and evangelist comes and tells him, did you not see that there's little steps over there you can get yourself out? And as he goes, he comes to different things like the law, and he finds, well, that's not going to help me. It makes my burden heavier, because by the law it is the schoolmaster or the tutor or the teacher that shows us our heart's condition, that I am lost, I've broken God's law and I'm guilty. But it was when Pilgrim came to the cross, and he came to the cross of Calvary, and he finds that when he goes there and he sees what Christ has done for him, he sees that actually his burden has rolled away, the burden of my heart rolled away. And ladies and gentlemen, if we're Christians, we should return to the cross often and see what Christ has done, the eternal Son of God dying for me. Dying for my sins as a substitute in my place. And as he dies for me and he says, it is finished, we need to know that the work that saves is done. And so this evening, as we come to think about growing in grace, let's firstly understand what's happened. Because we have a legal declaration if you're a Christian. The moment you put your trust in Jesus Christ, there's a legal declaration that says you're declared innocent because Christ has died. That is justification by faith. It's a legal declaration that your status has changed. There was one time I was guilty and hell deserving and in my sin and dead completely, and Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God, has made me alive. And I am justified. I am there standing before God in righteousness that's not mine. It's Christ that's been given to me. And he's taken my sin. And now I live in a process that's called sanctification. Daily being changed to be more and more like Jesus. And so this evening we're dealing with the sanctification. But grow in the grace. If you're a Christian, you've started. You've started with Christ. And you're walking with him. Continue with Christ all your days. It's quite simple, isn't it? But let's think about this for a moment. Because there are things that are going to happen in our lives that are difficult. I don't know whether you were young when you were younger, because obviously you have to be younger. When you were younger, did you have some pains when you grew? Some of us have had growth pains. Sometimes when you're growing as a Christian, there are pains because the things that we used to love to do and to say and to think, they need to be removed. And a new love and a new attitude and a new way of living comes when you become a Christian. Listen to the hymn writer. You'll know his name, John Newton. Listen to what he says. I asked the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know, and seek more earnestly his face. 'Twas he who taught me lust to pray, and he I trusted has answered prayer, but it has been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. I hope that in some favoured hour at once he'd answer my request, and by his love's constraining power subdue my sins and give me rest. Instead of this, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart, and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. And this evening as we come, thinking about growing in grace, it's not going to be easy. Because actually we need to know that as we grow in grace, that we need to think about the day that we live in. The day that we live in. Peter, when he was writing, he says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, we're looking forward to heaven, but we're living in this time and space. We're living right here. And what is the world like? It doesn't like Jesus. It uses his name as a swear word. It doesn't like anything that's holy or godly, and you are, as a Christian, to be what? To be holy and godly? Remember what Peter said? He says, since we know that the earth is going to end and a new heaven and a new earth is coming, you need to think about the manner of persons you're going to be. What are you going to live like in 2024? How are you going to live for Jesus that shines a light in the darkness? Because let me tell you this, the world is dark. It's dark. It's getting darker. Does that mean we just close the door, switch off the lights and give up? Oh, surely it doesn't. We pray. Oh, do come Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. Come and pray. Because the battle is not just in Abbot's Cross, and it's not just in Clockfern and Rathfern, it is across even the waters. I'm telling you, it's dark in Cumbrian. But let me tell you this, if you were to turn out all the lights this evening, and I had one little candle and put it here, you would see the light. And let me tell you this, that we need people who are going to stand and to be lights in the darkness, to know the day that we're living in, when men have gone and women have gone mad, if they're men and if they're women. We need to know the day that we live in, that truly our burdens are taken away by Christ and we're to live for him. That man called Christian, as he went, he came to all sorts of places like Vanity Fair. You know where people tell you how wonderful you are? Where you can have so much fun and enjoyment in the world, and then you forget all about the things of Christ. Need to know that in this 2024, on a Sunday evening, just like we are here, it's going to be lovely to put on your bathrobe or your pajamas and sit in the house and just think, I'll just go for a little sleep. How's that going to do anything good for your soul? You find rest in Jesus Christ, rest in him, and find actually you need everything that flows from your relationship with Jesus Christ. This evening, are you going to grow in grace this year? Because actually I remember one of the lecturers in Bible college, and that's a long time ago too, and he says either the Christian is either going forwards or you're going backwards. There's no standing still. It's like another illustration that I heard. You think of the coal fires that we have, or we used to have, we're not supposed to have. The coal fires, and the coals are there. While they're in the fire, they're nice and hot. But what happens if you remove someone? You remove one of the coals and set it to the side. Very quickly goes cold. And so in 2024, there are things that we must do to know the day that we live in. It's taking us away from Christ. Knowing that we can have these tendencies just to be so relaxed that we want to go to sleep. Don't be sleeping. There's no room for sleepy Christians. There's neither room for SMOs. We're all good at making little letters. SMOs. I've heard of a TMO, you know, in rugby. An SMO is a Sunday morning only Christian. Sunday morning only. That's not a real Christian. Because if you read the Bible and you find out how the disciples lived for Jesus, it was 24/7. It was every single day. It was saying, I want to go and praise God. I want to live for Him. I want to see His glory every day. Now, why does that not happen in our lives? Why do I wake up on a Sunday morning going, I feel as if I can go back to bed? Why does it happen? Well, I'm in frail human flesh, and I need the Lord's help. Lord, take away this fatigue, this weakness I have. Help me to live every single day knowing that the Lord will give me a resurrected body that will never be tired. A resurrected body that will be joined to His glorious body. But that is not yet. Help me to live in it with all the grace I can, with a sore knee and a bad hip and the grey hairs, or no hair, depending on who you are. Help me to know that God knows even the number of hairs on my head. He knows. So no matter what happens, if your vision gets worse this year and you can't see any bigger glasses, just know the Lord knows. If you can't hear properly, the Lord knows. Praise God, there are glasses and there's hearing aids and there's all sorts of things you can get. And don't be so proud as to not bring the walking stick with you if you need a walking stick. You're growing in grace. Not growing in pride, you know. That's the first thing. Know the day that you live in. Secondly, we need to know this. Need to know who you are. Need to know exactly who you are. Because actually here we have, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to know that actually if we're a Christian, that truly, that we will stand before God one day. We'll give an account of our lives, and what will we say to Him? You know, we can't just say to Him, oh, just let me in. I want to come into heaven. No, we need to be right with God to get in there, because nothing unholy will be in heaven. Nothing unholy will be in heaven. And so as we rewind a little bit, I wonder, are you a Christian? Do you know this grace that we talk about? It's not a girl's name, by the way. I remember tongue-in-cheek going to Ballymena and the Faith Mission days, reminding people of the words that we use. We'll live for 70 years. Let me tell you, if you're going to use that language, you need to explain it. Because the 70 that people know is this: the score of drugs that you can take up your nose, or you score a goal in football, or you score you get off with a woman, and you do that 10 times. No, it's, come on, let's work this out. It's 70 years, and if by reason of strength it's 80. We need to use language that people can understand and say, listen, I know who I am. I'm a Christian who believes in Jesus, and I've got faults and feelings, but when God looks on me, He looks and sees Jesus and His righteousness. Let's remember who we are. Yes, I must repent of my sins. I must turn to Him and know that, yes, every single day I make mistakes. I say the wrong things. I do the wrong things. But actually, every single day, God looks on me through Christ. Little children's chorus. I think I said this last time I was here. I have taken all the children's choruses, and they're now in South Wales. Every single one. And one of them came to me this morning. Brian, where are you, Brian? Brian, it comes out, Untold Millions Are Still Untold. You still sing that one? Untold Millions are Outside the Fold. Who will tell them of Jesus' love? It's in my head. You have sung it so much, it's in there. Keep on singing these chords. These are truths. Happiness is to know the Savior. Real joy is mine. Even when the teardrops start, I found the answer. What's the answer? It's Jesus in me. It's Jesus in me and through me, and He is helping me by His Spirit every single day. You grow in grace knowing who you are. I'm a believer. And as Ruth said, we're to rejoice in the Lord always. And I think the biggest trouble is that we try to rejoice in everything else. Everything else. In our work. We're defined by our work. And then when you come to retire, you don't know who you are. Or we're defined by our successes. And then when everybody forgets your successes, you think, I'm a nobody. Let me tell you, I'm defined by knowing Jesus. And he knows my name. And my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The question is, do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? I'm a child of God. I've been taken from the darkness of sin and been conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of his love. I'm in Jesus Christ, and I'm in him forever. Because none shall pluck me from his hand, nor the hand of the Father who's greater than I. It's wonderful, isn't it, that we're to grow in grace. But let me ask you that question. What is, if we were to get a graph and we'll call everybody up one after the other. This is the thing, ready? Every single one after the other. Well, what growth happened in 2023? Spiritual growth now. Not talking about your waistline or your head or anything else. What if we drew a graph? What would it look like? I thought about that for my own life. Because you find when you become a Christian, I sort of remember those early years when I was 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. And it was a sort of a flat line. You know, I went on, I kept on going. But there was no real growth until you sat down with a Bible and someone directed you. Someone says, walk this way, and you've walked with Jesus for a while. You say, I wonder, do you know how your growth is going to go in 2024? Well, you see, there's only one way to grow. And it's this final way. And it's knowing Jesus as your Lord. Well, he's your Savior if you're a Christian. He's your Savior. He has died for your sins. You know that. You're gospel people. You know exactly what's happened. We've talked about the transaction of your sin and his righteousness. But how are you going to grow? You know the gospel. Listen to the verse again. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace. We could say it's God's riches at Christ's expense. We could talk grace, undeserved, unmerited favor of God. But in grace, the Lord needs to be the Lord of your life. It's a wee secret that I learned. If you want to be the king of your life, you're going to go nowhere. Boys, I went the whole way to Wales to find that out. The Lord sends you places. He sends you into your workplace. He sends you in wherever he has put you, into the youth club or to the Sunday school or to the tiny tots or whatever it is. He places you places so you can shine for him. And as he your Lord, you go at his word. Remember Jonah? God told him the first time, go to Nineveh. Go and preach and tell them, yet in 40 days and judgment is coming to the city. He said, I'm not going there. I don't want my enemies to be saved, because they are Ninevites. Well, they're the Assyrians. They're the ones who are against us. Do you remember what happened to him? Yeah, he was swallowed by a big fish. I believe the Bible's true. And in that belly of the fish, when he had went the wrong way, he prayed to God. Jonah chapter 2. And what happened to him? He went to Nineveh. Because the word of the Lord came to him again, it says. It came to him a second time. How many times do I have to tell you? Go. Go and preach the gospel. Go and tell people about Jesus. Go and live for Jesus Christ as your Lord. Do what he says to do. Live by the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, that's part of the issues that we have in lots of churches. That we say, my will be done. Could you imagine if Jesus said that in the Garden of Gethsemane? Could you imagine that actually he wouldn't have went to that cross, but he said this, your will be done, O Father. Your will be done. I'm going to do this because we had this eternal plan of salvation. And the plan was that I was going to hang on a cross for sinners. I was going to die in their place. And he didn't turn back. He went the whole way to Calvary. And he didn't stay on that cross. But he died for my sins, shedding his blood. Rising again the third day, reminding me that his sacrifice is firstly accepted by God, knowing he has the power to come back to life again, knowing that actually he has promised resurrection to me, that here is the growth in grace, that I go the Lord's way and I'll get to be with him at the right time. Grow in the grace. And you see the order of these things? It didn't say grow in knowledge. Because the scriptures tell us that knowledge puffs up. I could bring some big words to you. I love big words, you know. But I leave most of my big words in the study. All those Greek words that you ever learn, they're in the study. Because I have one job to do. Communicate the message of Jesus Christ to God's people and to those who are lost. Let them hear exactly how great God is. Let them see the truth that God has wiped out the handwriting that's against me. He has taken it and he's nailed it to the cross, and he doesn't see the whole list of my sins. He sees that Christ has paid the price, and I can know him as my Lord and Savior. Do you know him? Not in a head knowledge. But as he comes to you even this evening, and he says to us, come to me all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, I know that. I came to him in 1976. Amen. Amen. I was listening, wasn't I? Don't ask me anything else. I came and I took my burdens and I laid them down. But listen, there's more to that Matthew 11 than what you'd ever think. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Do you ever know that when the Bible talks about being yoked together, you don't put a bull with a donkey, but two things that are equally yoked? And here's what Jesus say: rest in me and be equally yoked with me and go forward with me. What a wonderful thought. Oh, from the scriptures, take my yoke upon me, learn from me. I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Who takes the burden? Not me. Cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. I wonder how many things in 2023 have we held on to. And we've been walking. And your wife turns to you and says, what's wrong with you? You look as if you're 5'2" now, instead of 6'1". I've got this person in my congregation, and they're unwell. I've got this person telling me off because I preach too long. I've got this person telling me I don't preach long enough. This person, the carpet's the wrong color. For goodness sake. Right, Lord, these are your people. I love them. Growth in grace. Lord, help me to rest and find the right way through. And this evening as we come, I want to tell you one more little story, because I don't know whether this bus route still goes. Is there still the 167 Newton Abbey Town service? Is there? Yeah, they're still going. Boy, that goes back to my youth. You're going to say aye, but you're only a youth, aren't you? No, it goes back to my youth. Every single morning, getting on the bus at 10 to 8, and it's all about learning. I was going to school. But as I got to school, I would try and observe what's going on. Not very much in that town service. But there was those boys who got on, and they were going to be apprentices. Now, I don't know whether the place is still there. They got off the bus at Abbey Centre and walked around the corner to where they were going to be taught how to be a plumber or an electrician or a brickie. And so every single day as I went off to school to learn lots of things, they went off to learn that one thing and to learn it well. Every day. That was them. Going on that 167 town service that goes everywhere around Newton Abbey and eventually gets to school. But here were these boys and they simply were learning one thing. Maybe the one thing that we need to learn is to know Jesus as your Lord. To know Him. To walk humbly before your God. To take every opportunity that you can, redeeming the time for the days are evil. But to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Will you do that? Will you grow in grace? And I'll come back again and I might get a phone call saying, will you come and preach again? I might not get a phone call after this. But there you go. Will you come and I'll see that actually you've grown in grace? Now I can see some of you. I see you've got older. But if I was rubbing shoulders with you and serving with you, I can see what grace has done in your life. You might not be able to see that, but others can. So be aware of the day that we live in. It's evil. It's an evil day. And know who we are as those who are justified sinners by God's grace. And to know that there's only one way to live. To have a great 2024. Have Him as Lord of all. Is He Lord of all? Because if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. Let Him, let Jesus Christ, not only be your Savior, but be the Lord of your life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that little verse. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. We're sorry, Lord, for the times where we haven't grown in grace. The graph looks odd because it flatlines and then it grows and it stops and then it goes in all sorts of directions. Have us to continually grow more and more like our Lord Jesus. To know Him, to be His disciples, for we are His disciples, to learn of Him, because He is gentle and lowly, and He will give us rest for our souls, if we only trust Him, and to trust Him as the days go by. Oh, be with us, be with this church here in Abbots Cross, be with, Lord, the folks in Ebenezer, in Cumbran. We thank you for them, we praise you for God's people all over the world, and we pray that Lord, this year, may we see many souls being won for Christ and many people, many backsliders being restored to Christ. And Lord, your people going on in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us and bless us indeed in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to blame Billy. Billy says, I don't have to remind you, by the way. I don't have to remind you that there's a supper up in the other hall. He says, you'd know that straight away because it's got to do with food and to do with cups of tea and coffee. After we sing our final hymn, we're going to pray and then you can go and enjoy fellowship around a cup of tea and having some food as well. So we're going to stand together and sing. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend His cause, maintain the glory of His cross and honour all His laws. Let's stand together and sing. was asked once, why those last words? How can you be happy all the day? Well, think of the words we've just been singing. He will own my worthless name. He will appoint my soul a place in heaven. I'm not ashamed to own his name because he died for me. And so how can I be happy? Happiness comes only in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the words that we've been singing, the truth. We thank you for the truth of your word also. We pray, Lord, you'll have us to have a great 2024, whether it brings sadness, whether it brings more of the same, or whether it brings us, Lord, to the end of ourselves and to the beginning of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, help us to live in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ every single day. For through many trials, you have brought us through. Through many dangers and toils, you have led us this far. And Lord, we know that grace will lead us home. So, Father, be with us. Receive our praise, because, Lord, you are worthy to receive our praise, to receive power and riches and wisdom. Blessing and honor, glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Part us now with your blessing. Bless the food that we're going to consume. Bless the teas and coffees. But Lord, bless our conversations that we may speak of Jesus, the one who is mighty to save. Part us now in Jesus' name. Amen.